What's going on, people? Welcome back to Clown Questions, the show where there are no dumb questions. Today I'm asking the question, and I forgot to say I'm Matt K. Maurer, the host, but today the question is Alabama washed? I'll attempt to answer that in addition to some other questions, and I will also be having on a good friend of mine, Brendan Paddock, going to talk some NFL, going to really get into the bracket of college football playoffs. So I'm excited for that, and you should be too. Who's down to clown?
That's a clown question, bro.
So is Alabama washed? Yes, absolutely, unequivocally. How many ways can I say the word yes? They're washed. They didn't make the playoffs in a year where they expanded the playoffs from 4 teams to 12 teams. Just ugly, ugly showing for Nick Saban's former team. Their coach is on the hot seat now because Alabama doesn't take losses like this. They're not used to playing in the ReliaQuest Bowl. That's who they'll be playing, Michigan, in the ReliaQuest Bowl. Huge game for them. But man, was I excited, fired up when they announced that they were going to choose SMU rather than a Alabama. I was shouting. I was watching the selection show. I was just screaming, let's fucking go. Oh, shoot. I do not have a dollar. We'll put this out as a placeholder. Sorry, Auntie Julie. But yeah, I was hype. SMU, well-deserved. Happy to see them get in. I was so worried they were going to get, stoned, that they were going to get fleeced by the committee here and they're going to put Alabama in. But nope, they are not in the playoffs. Have fun in the ReliaQuest Bowl, Crimson Tide. Another piece of evidence that Alabama's washed isn't related to their football team, but their basketball team. The 2025 number one recruit, AJ DeBantsa. He has committed to BYU. Among his other choices were UNC and Bama. So tough miss for Bama there. You had the number one guy right in your lap, but he's gone. I don't really have anything against Alabama basketball. I hate their football team just because they've been so good for so long and I'm tired of it. But I think my hatred for their football team extends that far that I don't like their basketball team either. So congrats to Brigham Young on getting the number one recruit here. Too bad, so sad, Alabama. Let's keep talking some college football with my next question. Who will win the Heisman? Actually, the question I wrote was, who should win the Heisman? Who will win it? Probably Travis Hunter. He's the overwhelming betting odds favorite. They announced the finalists. Of course, Travis Hunter and Ashton Gentry highlight the four finalists, Dylan Gabriel and Cam Ward, the only quarterbacks nominated, but they are not expected to win. It's currently a two-man race between Ashton Gentry and Travis Hunter. I think Gentry should win it. He's ran for 2,400 yards, almost half of 5K. He's almost to 2,500 yards. He carried his team to a playoff spot, to a bye week. No one thought Boise State was going to be this good. No one knew about Ashton Gentry, of course, but yeah, give it to Gentry. Colorado had many chances to make the playoffs here. All they had to do was win one more game, get into the Big 12 championship, then win another, but they didn't. The Cardiac King is what they're calling Travis Hunter. Snaps are not a stat. He's going to win this Heisman because he has the best cardio. He's the best runner in the league, but come on, he's not the best wide receiver in the country. He's not the best cornerback. Tough to be the best at two positions, I know. But give it to Gentry. Gentry got his team to the playoffs in addition to having absurd stats averaging like 7-8 yards a carry, single-handedly getting Boise State to the playoffs. So give it to Gentry. Anything else would be a robbery. Kind of reminds me of Melvin Gordon, who I think got robbed in 2014. He was, second to only Barry Sanders, I think, in rushing yards in a season with 2,500. But they ended up giving it to Marcus Mariota. But that brings up a good point there. Mariota got it because he had a better record than Melvin Gordon. Oregon was a more competitive team. So let's use that logic here and give it to Boise State's Ashton Jeanty, because he's actually on a good team. He made a mediocre team great. And Travis Hunter didn't do that. Obviously, he's made that team great, but not as good as Boise State, at least according to the College Football Playoff Committee. So give Ashton Jeanty the Heisman. Damn. Okay? Here's something that you'll be saying damn to, especially if you're a Yankees fan. Are the Mets the new Yankees? I think they are. I wasn't aware. I guess they have just as much money as the Yankees. And that's abundantly clear after they signed Juan Soto. Juan Soto was the hottest free agent on the market. And the Mets snatched him up. Snatched him up sounds kind of weird. But the Mets signed him out of free agency. And it's the biggest deal in American sports history. It surpassed Shohei's $700 million deal. The Mets are going to be paying Juan Soto $765 million over a period of 15 years. That's good for $51 million a year. I was thinking in my head, I'm like, is he really making more than Shohei Ohtani? Not really. I mean, he's making the $51 million a year. If you average out Ohtani's, technically he's making $70 million a year. But of course, most of that is deferred money. So, you know, this next year, Juan Soto will be making $51 million and Shohei will be making $2 million. But, you know, Shohei's waiting for the long haul. He's getting that money later in his life. So Juan will be richer for now, but I don't know. Maybe Shohei will probably catch up to him at some point. But to put the ridiculousness of this contract into perspective, $765 million, that's what Juan Soto is getting paid. $761 million, that is the combined career salary earnings of LeBron James and Tom Brady. Literally the two GOATs, the two greatest of all time in their respective sports. You add up their career salary earnings and it's still less than this ridiculous Juan Soto contract. But hey, I'm happy for the Mets. Juan Soto, you've gained all my respect back. I didn't like you as a Yankee because there's not many Yankees I like. You know, Derek Jeter, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, I'm big fans of them, but any current Yankees I don't love. So Juan is a hero in New York to a lot, and now a villain to the other half. But man, that is just sweet. That's a cherry on top of you know, the Mets shit talking Yankees fans. They'll never be able to live it down. But yeah, I should acknowledge, I think it's a little too much money. Do I think Juan Soto will be worth $50 million a year 14 years from now? No, I don't think that. But the Mets, they had no choice. I guess the Yankees offered him $760 mil for 16 years. So pretty similar contract there. So the Mets got him, and Juan Soto's their future. I hope they kick the shit out of the Yankees every time they play each other. Another signing for the Mets was Clay Holmes, another Yankee. They signed him to a three-year, $38 million deal. He used to be a relief pitcher, a closer at some points, but the Mets are reportedly going to convert him to a starting pitcher. So interesting there. I don't know if that'll work out or not, but love to see him poach not one but two guys from the Yankees. I don't know if the Yankees wanted to hold on to Holmes, though. Anyways, the other big contract that has come out of this free agency cycle in the MLB is Willy Adames. The Giants have signed Willy Adames to a seven-year, $182 million deal. Compared to Soto's contract, that doesn't sound like much, but it's actually the largest deal in franchise history. Adames has surpassed Buster Posey's $167 million deal with his seven-year, $182 million deal. Of course, Willy Adames is a former Brewer, so sad to see him go. It'll be interesting to see what we do at shortstop. Maybe, I don't know, you maybe put Bryce Terang over there. I don't know, can Churio play in the infield? Maybe I'll ask Brendan about this. He knows some Brewers as well. So tough break for the Brewers. But yeah, I don't think the Brewers were going to shell out $180 million for him. So it was kind of a lost cause for the crew there. Let's talk some basketball. has the WNBA arrived? I should say, I think I asked the same exact question after Caitlin Clark set the WNBA ratings record with like 2 million views in her debut game or something crazy. But that's not why I'm asking if the WNBA has arrived. Not everything's about Caitlin Clark, guys, okay? But I'm asking that because there was a WNBA expansion draft this past week. That's right, the Golden State Valkyries, or is it Valkyries? There's no way it's Valkyries. That's how it's spelled. But the Valkyries, I guess that's, is that a vampire of some sort? I don't know. But they are going to be the WNBA's 13th team. They participated in an expansion draft. All the other WNBA teams were able to protect up to 6 players. That list was not made public. So basically you can pick anyone except someone's top 6 players. The only name I recognized from this draft was Kate Martin. I think she's a solid player. Still learning about the WNBA, but I'm trying to keep it in the news cycle of my so 30 people can hear about the WNBA here. But yeah, I think the WNBA has arrived. I already said that with Caitlin and Angel Reese and the pub they were bringing. But cool to see them expand. And apparently, Portland and Toronto are 2 other cities that are going to be adding a team. They will participate in an expansion draft before the 2026 season. And the WNBA commissioner, Kathy Engelbert, she actually stated that she expects the league to grow to 16 teams by 2028. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to, you know, maybe Juju Watkins next year will be Rookie of the Year after she probably goes on a run with UNC in the Women's March Madness tournament. So I don't know. I'm hype about the WNBA. I still need to pick a team. I think I'm probably Chicago Sky. I just realized I forgot to ask Santa Claus for an Angel Reese jersey. That's exactly what I need. So maybe I'll have to add that to my Christmas list now. Let's get back to some football. Of course, college football. I don't know if I even talked about the NFL. I would talk with Brendan. But who's going to win the CFP, the college football playoff? Of course, the 12 teams were announced. Alabama was left out, rightfully so. Clemson snuck in as the 12th seed. It was an automatic bid, so I don't know if snuck in is the right word. Well, it was a 56-yard field goal. So that's as sneaky as you can get to add to making the playoffs. SMU is the 11th seed. So they're actually the one who knocked Alabama out after narrowly losing that ACC championship game. But who's going to win the college football playoff? Personally, I'm going to have to defer back to my preseason pick of Ohio State. I mean, they're in it. Why would I change it now? I mean, they got a tough matchup against Tennessee, and if they win, they play Oregon. So tough road, but I can't go back on my pick now. I got to stick with it. Same way I'm going to stick with Bills Lions Super Bowl pick. Until one of them gets eliminated, then I'll recalibrate. But yeah, give me the Buckeyes here. But you know, thank God we have someone who's much more knowledgeable about college football compared to myself coming on the show today. Brendan Paddock, he'll be here. I'll ask him who his champion. We're actually gonna pick the whole bracket, I think. So looking forward to that. Let's get to our segment. Our first segment of the day is always First Year Interruption. I should start abbreviating it to FYI. I've never done that. I don't know. I try to do the FYI sometimes when I title a video because you can only fit so many words, but I feel like most people just think, it's 4-year information. No, it's First Year Interruption. Definitely not inspired by PMT or any other Barstool podcast, but today's First Year Interruption is going to be with Sacramento Kings head coach Mike Brown. He like glitched in this press conference. I don't know what the hell is going on, but after a 44-point win versus the Utah Jazz, he had a very, very weird interview. I don't know what happened here. And if you're hearing the audio, it's real. This is actually what he said. It's not a glitch. I didn't mess up the editing. This is actually what he said. And he said it 26 times. So I had to use this because it's just weird. It's so weird. I'm just going to play it here. Here's First Year Interruption with Kings head coach Mike Brown.
We can't be bored stacking plays the right way. And what I mean by that is we don't need the home run steal. We don't need the home run three. We just need to be methodical by stacking or playing the right way, possession after 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 possession. You guys got what I'm saying, right? We just need to be methodical and locked in to play the right way on both ends of the floor for 48 minutes.
He's like, you guys get what I'm saying? No, I have no idea what you're saying, Mike Brown. You said the word possession a lot. I know that. He said possession after possession after possession after possession 26 consecutive times. I would have done it too, but that's a terrible bit. He did this all after they beat the Utah Jazz by 44. Why? I don't know why. Like, is he pissed off at the reporters? Literally, he's – maybe this is like a break in the Matrix moment where Mike Brown's actually not a real person. He's a robot or, you know, a Matrix-contrived agent or whatever you call it. I don't know. I'm so confused why you would say it that many times. I know he's trying to get his point across, but he's looking crazy. That's just insane to me that he said it 26 times. I didn't watch. I don't watch the NBA really in the regular season, so I don't have any like critiques of Mike Brown. I'm just like confused. Like, why are you being so weird? Why did you say that 26 times? The world will probably never know. But I don't know. Apparently the reporters got it because he's like, you guys got me. I don't get you, Mike Brown. I have no idea what you're doing there. I have no idea what you're talking about. But hopefully, we'll have some idea about what Brendan's talking about. We got Brendan Paddock talking some college football. He's going to pick every game in the bracket. It's going to be fun. It's going to be Brendan. So here's a great interview. Thanks again, Brendan, for pulling up to the podcast. It was a great time, as I'm sure it was. I haven't recorded it yet, but I'm sure it was great. So here's Brendan Paddock, everybody. All right, now pulling up to the pod is a now reoccurring guest. He is owner of the CD's Nuts franchise. It's my good friend, Brendan Paddock. Brendan, thanks for joining me on the show again.
Oh, so great to be back. I would like to announce and give a shout out to our former roommate Colton for telling me to set my lineup and put my kicker and defense in so I could reach the playoffs and beat Ethan. Sorry, Ethan, if you're listening.
Would you have lost without the kicker and defense?
Yes. Yeah, dude.
I
picked up the Chiefs backup kicker in their defense and they both scored like, I think the defense had like 7 points and the kicker had like 18.
Yeah, I was talking to Colton about that and he was like, don't tell Ethan, but I told Brendan to do it. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know. I'm in too many leagues.
Yeah.
So like, sometimes I forget to set my lineup in that league sometimes.
Yeah.
And I, yeah. And I didn't realize how close it was like all together. And yeah, then Colton shot me a text Sunday evening. Like, hey,
no one wants a commissioner to win, I guess. Yeah. But you were just telling me about how you were in Europe for a couple weeks. So how was Europe?
Oh, it was great, dude. I was in like Eastern Europe for a few weeks, and it was an amazing like
Ukraine.
I was close to Ukraine.
Oh, okay,
but sorry. I wasn't in Ukraine. Obviously, I'm safe, and I would not have been safe there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was visiting my older bro, as you know, Justin. He's studying abroad, or he's a visiting researcher there for his PhD in engineering in Madison. He's in Austria. Okay. So we probably hit like 5 cities, I think. I'll reiterate them then I don't know for sure. In like those 2 weeks. So I was there for pretty much like all of November. We were in Venice, which was, I sent you a couple pictures when you texted me.
Yeah. Love it was really canals.
It was so pretty there. Would highly recommend going there, and I definitely would like to go back to Italy for sure.
Yeah,
whatever in the future.
What was the highlight of the trip?
Ooh, the highlight, honestly, just honestly just spending time with my bro. Like we just walked around, did every all the tourist stuff, like seeing all the castles, the architecture, going to Prague, staying in Vienna, going to Budapest. All of it was just the bonding time and just learning about all of like we forget in like the US that like our history is pretty recent compared to like our history only really goes back to like the 1600s or like our well like known history. Like obviously it doesn't like just go back then. We have like a lot of like indigenous civilizations that lived here. But like Italy history like starts like goes back to before Christ.
Yeah, literally.
And like a lot of their traditions and like their food and like all the like the Roman Empire, like World War II was just a small part of their history. And it was like obviously it was pretty big because I was in Vienna and like a lot of like Prague and like a lot of Eastern Europe where Germany was unfortunately invading and stuff. But
Dude, you're a globetrotter though. You're a globetrotter.
yeah, I'm a world
Love it.
traveler. I made it back in one piece, thankfully.
Yeah, glad to hear that.
Yeah, I could yap about that for another 45 minutes too.
Yeah, well, I don't know if we had time. I wanted to talk football, so I don't know if we got time for that.
Yeah.
But one more thing on fantasy football. How are you feeling about the CD's nuts fantasy squad?
I mean, like my team's pretty stacked, but I forget it was only the
Dude, that was such BS when they vetoed that trade. I think
eight
it
of
was
us.
like I was gonna give you Mahomes and Jaden Reed. You were gonna give me like CeeDee Lamb, Malik Neighbors, Alvin Kamara. I was
Yeah,
like, wow,
straight
that's a pretty good trade. I accepted it. And Ethan was having none of it, vetoed it
Yeah.
right away.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think Colts is pretty good. I mean, like, I saw he was projected like 135 or something. I'm only projected like 125,
Are
but
you playing
you know,
him round one?
yeah, I'm the last seed in.
You gotta beat him. He can't win two straight championships without watching a single game of football. That would just
He,
be
you know, the game's played on the field, not on projections.
it's true. Hey, leave it all out on the field this week. CD's nuts for
Yeah.
sure. For sure.
Hopefully CeeDee Lamb has another good game.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, speaking of CeeDee Lamb, let's talk some NFL football. I want to go back to the Packers game on Thursday night because I saw a few and I definitely saw a lot of Packers fans complaining about the officiating in that game. I think Detroit kind of dominated us, even though they won by three, but I think they were aided by those calls a little. So what do you think? Do you think the Packers got screwed versus the Lions last week?
It definitely got dominated the first game at Lambeau. I think that was like a month ago, right? I mean, like, yeah, I mean, like, the Lions are pretty, had some pretty, like, dirty plays.
Yeah, Mr. Kirby Joseph.
I mean, like, it was a pretty back and forth game. I honestly went to bed and we were winning. So,
Oh, you went to bed, bro.
yeah, and I was like, oh, we got this.
Oh,
But then I
geez.
woke up and I was like,
Yeah.
oh.
Yeah, you didn't
But
think Dan Campbell would go for it on fourth and inches when he only needed a field goal to win the game.
yeah, dude, Dan Campbell does as an analytic person, as you mentioned in the our previous podcast, my title. It's funny. I think analytics are a way to help you make decisions, and I don't think it's like the wall. Like obviously, analytics don't like they don't take into account to how good your offensive line is, like. I mean, like, I guess the statistics in
It's not
itself
they don't have
does.
enough variables in there, you're
Yeah.
saying, for it
I
to
mean, like,
for them to really be accurate. Okay, what do you, let me ask
yeah.
you this. This is a huge analytics debate, and I was watching a game with my dad and my brother, and it was like a 14-point game. Someone scored and then they went for two. And they're like, why the hell are you going for
Penn
two? I'm
State
like,
game?
and I was like, it's the analytics. So what do you think? If you're down 14 and you score a touchdown, should you go for two?
So that did have I was watching that game. It was the Penn State Oregon game, and
Yeah.
I have some, as born into a Penn State family, I have some strong feelings about Franklin and him doing
Yeah.
that.
Not a
But
fan of
like,
him.
not that I'm not a fan of him, but I don't completely love him. But anyways, he so I guess it depends on a lot. Like, so if we're talking about that game, for example, where Penn State couldn't stop like a nosebleed. I get, and you were scoring at that kind of same clip, and you were just kind of like betting on one stop. I guess it's not like the worst decision. I personally would not have done that. But I guess,
But you're an analytics
yeah, I mean, like, I guess I'd
guy.
have to look at like, because I that does take into account like time of the game, right? Like that stats, when to go for it.
Yeah, I don't know.
And
I mean,
like,
I assume you wouldn't do that in the first half. That'd probably be a
yeah,
second half
obviously,
move,
because
but
they
yeah, I
did
don't know.
that. They did that pretty late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
But
They're trying to win the
honestly,
shootout.
yeah, I mean, like, I don't like hate it. If it works, it works. Just kind of like how a fake punt, if it works, it works. But if it doesn't, you look like an idiot. I mean, I guess
Yeah.
it's. I mean, like, I think you have to have like a balance, and sometimes you look bad, sometimes you look really smart because you ran a fake punt. I think, honestly,
Yeah.
I think Penn State against Minnesota, I believe, they had the ball, and there was like 3 minutes left, and they were up one, and they had a fourth and one on Minnesota's like, or on their own 30, on Penn State's own 30, and they called a fake punt and converted it. I mean, like, if that blown up, that would have been like, what the what are you doing? Like, blah, blah,
Yeah.
blah. But it worked. And you're just like, oh, wow, it worked. What a gutsy call. Blah, blah, blah. Like, I mean, like,
Yeah.
if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. I mean, I think being aggressive is a good thing, though. I don't know. I personally, like, it's all really dependent on the situation. You would have to give me, like, the situation, like, how well you're
Sure.
playing, like, defensively. Let's say you're,
Understood.
like, let's say, like, you're in, like, a comeback and I like obviously like momentum's like a big thing, and I don't think like analytics takes that into account as either. I mean, like, it's really like all I'm trying to say is there's so many random variables. I have
Yeah.
to take into account like what's
It's
going
just not,
on.
it's not black and white like that. It's situational where when you decide to do that. Sure. Well, we can we'll get into a lot of Penn State football, I'm sure later in this show. They got, well, some are saying the easiest, well, most are saying, pretty much everyone saying they got the easiest path to the playoffs, but I want to talk college later. Back to the Packers. I want to talk a former Packer with you, Aaron Rodgers. His new Netflix documentary coming out soon. But my question is, do you think Rodgers should retire? Is it time?
Are you gonna watch that documentary?
Probably not. I don't know. I mean, the ayahuasca episode might be dope. So I'll watch part of it.
I want to see like the end of his like Packer career.
Yeah.
And
I don't know if they have that. I think it's more like a reality TV show, so I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they'll have something in there,
yeah,
but
but
do you think he
maybe
should retire?
I think I'd give him a year. I mean, like,
Yeah.
he's not playing that well, but I mean, like, we talked a lot about this. So my prediction about the Jets was completely wrong.
Oh, me too. Me too. I thought they were a Super Bowl contender, bro.
I didn't think like. I didn't think that Robert Saleh was the issue and he was going to get fired. He joined the Packers, and the Packers have looked pretty good defensively,
So
except for.
it was the GM that was the issue. They fired him too,
Yeah,
right?
I'm sure he was. I mean, like, it always goes to like the top
Yeah.
dog.
And Woody
But
Johnson is saying he wanted to bench Rodgers. It's just a mess.
yeah, it's just like when you're not on the same page, like we know how this goes. Like, it just it's how it ends up.
Yeah.
A lot of turmoil,
Yeah.
but do I think Aaron Rodgers should retire? I think you give him a year,
Yeah.
and I think if he plays like if he has like a Brady last season, then yeah, he should go. I wish he retired 2022 though. That's just my opinion though.
Yeah, that would have been a perfect, just him and Randall Cobb walking off into the sunset at Lambeau Field. That was a nice moment. But yeah, you give him one more year. I like it. I think the Jets, I don't know. They signed him to a 2-year deal and he had to play, coming back from the injury this year. So I agree with you. Give him one more year. But speaking of one more year, should the Vikings give Sam Darnold one more year? Should the Vikings extend him? What do you
As a
think?
Packers fan, I'd love
He's
to.
been playing really well
He's been playing
lately.
really well. Yeah, I
That
know.
he might be better than JJ McCarthy. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he will be for sure. I mean, JJ McCarthy, I forgot how like I think he talked about his ACL a little bit. I think he said he mentioned he got hurt in against Alabama or in the Rose Bowl. I'm not sure if he did though.
Ooh.
But so
Ooh, he was hiding it.
I don't quote me on that. I don't think that's completely true. But I think they should. I mean, like, I think the thing to do with young quarterbacks, as we're kind of seeing with like Caleb, Trevor Lawrence, even like Daniel Jones, unfortunately. Yeah, I know he's not that good, but I feel like with like young quarterbacks, I think it's good to sit behind like a veteran for like a year or two, kind of what Love did with Rodgers.
Yeah.
And
But Darnold's on a 1-year deal, right? Do
Yeah,
you think they
so
bring him back or like
Yeah, I
I
think
don't
they
know.
do. I think
Do you think they will?
yeah, I mean like I think if they make the playoffs, he will. I
Oh,
mean
they're
like
making it.
yeah,
What do they got?
our
11 wins right now?
yeah,
They're
yeah,
in.
so there's yeah,
They're
I mean
in.
our division's tough.
Yeah, no kidding, dude.
But no, it's kind of cool regardless of like fandom. I think it's kind of cool to see all these guys like redeem themselves and get under some good coach. Like as a Packers fan, I can admit that Kevin O'Connell is a pretty smart quarterback coach and offensive coordinator. I know some people, some Packer fans would probably disagree with me, but yeah, I
Yeah.
mean like I feel like he I think it's really cool how him and LaFleur with Malik Willis really like resurrected some of these guys' careers. And yeah, I hope he gets extended.
All right, I like it. I like it. It'll be interesting to see if it'll be Darnold or McCarthy next year. To
I
be
think it'll be Darnold to
determined.
start out for sure.
Yeah. Well,
Then
speaking of we got another maybe quarterback controversy here. I think a lot of people are kind of calling for a benching here in Atlanta. So do you think, is it time for the Falcons to turn to Michael Penix, or is that just crazy? Is that
so
just
I
insane?
will admit, I think the Falcons are like the team I've watched the least in the NFL.
Sure.
But do you have any statistics of how like Kirk Cousins doing, like interceptions wise or anything?
I think the last four games he's thrown like eight picks and no touchdowns. It's not good. He's just been
Yeah.
playing very bad as of late.
Yeah. I mean, he's kind of old too. I mean, like, I don't think it would hurt to like play Penix, but Penix is
Don't know. It's
Penix.
just crazy. You paid the guy what, 180 million? Now you're gonna bench him? It's just,
I
I don't
should
know.
have.
It seems crazy, but I've been hearing rumblings about it. Maybe it's Penix time.
I should have been an average NFL QB. I would have gotten the bag. But anyways,
Now with that dislocated shoulder, bro.
yeah, good. It's not my throwing
Oh,
shoulder though.
is your other shoulder?
Yeah.
You're good then. You're good.
But yeah, I mean, if he's played that bad, I don't see what how getting Michael Penix reps, and if they have no shot at like the playoffs, I don't see
Mean, but
how.
they're in that race with the Buccaneers right now.
Oh, really?
I mean, the Buccaneers are ahead of them, but it's only by a game or two, so it's not like their season's over or anything. But yeah, I don't know. I thought it was crazy. I heard Jack DePoe was telling me, he's like, I think the Falcons should. I think they
Oh,
should do it.
really?
I'm like, I don't know. Isn't that a little early?
I mean, like, I think it's good to get like reps. I mean, like, you can't really like learn quarterback that well from the sideline. I mean, like, as I was just saying, people should sit behind, but I think like sitting behind is a good thing, but I don't think it would hurt to get reps. And
Yeah.
also shout out Bryce Young. He's playing a lot better.
Yeah, he is MVP. Not MVP, but that was my next question. Who is the MVP in your estimation? I guess we'll go thus far, or you can give me a prediction here. I don't know. It's
It's
what do we
gotta be
got?
like
Josh Allen
Josh
and
Allen, Saquon maybe. I don't think Saquon's gonna win it, even though he's having an unreal statistical year. He's not a stacked team.
I feel like. But I still feel like if Saquon breaks Eric Dickerson's record, he should get it. Otherwise, like, what are we doing MVP
Yeah, of
awards for?
course, right? I think that
Yeah.
too, but also Josh Allen's playing amazing. Both are amazing
Yeah.
players. So,
That game was crazy. Six first
yeah.
player ever to do three touchdowns rushing and passing in the same game. He's
Yeah,
absurd.
did you see the press conference after where he was like, "It's all my fault, like we lost." I was like, I'm like, dude, that's like,
He said that?
yeah, he's like, the offense didn't do enough.
That's what he said? Oh my gosh, that's not true at all. No, I think they lost that game when Doug Peterson wasted a timeout and they did that QB sneak.
Sean McDermott.
Yeah, they could have. Yeah. Oh, did I say McVay?
You
Oh,
said
that's a.
Doug Peterson.
I
He's
said
a two.
Doug Peterson. Where I'm
Who's
all
yeah.
over the place. This weed
Who's gonna get?
bandana
He's
has
gonna
got
be
me.
he's gonna be packing fries soon.
Put the
Fries
fries
in
in the bag.
the
Yeah. But so you would go Josh Allen for MVP?
Yeah, just because if I was like a betting man, I'd probably do that just with how like qu the quarterbacks are favored in that. But like obviously, there's still quite a bit of season left, and it'll be nice to see like a running back win or somebody else. So
Yeah, I'm pulling for Saquon, I think. Although I don't know, Josh Allen's
I like
never won
both.
one, and he deserves one for
Yeah.
sure as
Both
well.
are great guys, so I
Yeah.
wouldn't hate either.
Yeah. Let's shift to Thursday night. I wanted you to give me a Thursday night football pick. So we got Rams going to San Francisco at the 49ers. 49ers are 2.5 point favorites. So what do you got for me? Who's winning this? Who's covering?
I gotta
What do
say
you
San
think?
Francisco covers. That's pretty easy.
Okay.
I think,
I like it.
I mean, like, maybe I have some recency bias, but obviously McCaffrey's not playing, but I still think the 49ers have a lot of weapons. So, but
Yeah.
I think,
Former Badger, Garendo.
Yeah, Garendo. Yeah. I, yeah.
Legend.
He helped me get to help me secure a 3 seed in one of my other fantasy leagues.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
But.
You like the Niners to cover, though.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think the Rams are pretty average. I guess the 49ers are by their record, too. But I think I feel more confident in the 49ers winning that game. So, and covering.
Yeah.
I mean, 2.5 is a pretty small point spread. So,
yeah. Well, so to piggyback off that question, we got the NFC West. Niners are in last place, and they're only 2 games behind the Seahawks. So, who do you think is going to win the NFC West?
Ooh, that's a good question.
It's that one's tough because
that's a tough question.
Anyone's division.
I'd probably go whoever has the easiest schedule going forward. I'm not sure who that would be, but my gut tells me either. I don't think the Cardinals will. I think that's just like a recency bias thing because the other three have been doing so well, and like just in recent history. But I want to say I want to say like Seattle or San Francisco.
Okay, I was trying to pull up all the schedules at once. But
yeah, I mean like
the tough task.
Yeah, Arizona has the Panthers, Rams, and 49ers. So yeah, I guess they're all going to be playing each other, right?
They're just gonna beat up on each other.
Yeah, I guess Seattle has the whole NFC North besides Detroit.
You're gonna stick with Seattle?
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with Seattle or San Fran. Oh, San Fran plays the Lions and Dolphins.
Ooh.
So that might be kind of
That might be the toughest schedule.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go with Seattle.
Okay, Seattle. That's who the Packers are playing this week. You think Seahawks? Packers, who's winning that one? I mean, I'm picking the Packers, you know, but
is that Seattle?
Oh, that's a great question.
It looks like it's at Seattle and Green Bay's a 3-point favorite.
Oh,
Kenneth Walker is hurt.
Charbonnet is amazing, though.
Yeah, he's a good running back. I'm gonna go Green Bay. Seattle covers though.
To win, okay, Green Bay by
Green
two
Bay
points.
To win. Green Bay by 1 point.
Hell yeah.
And then we'll tell Geno Smith.
We'll write him off.
We'll write him off.
He's not going to write back, but we can write him off.
You write him off.
Can't expect him to write back to us.
Honestly, like, I don't really have any good, like, football analysis for it, to be honest. I think.
No, that's all right.
I guess the Packers have a bit better offense. I don't know. I think. The Packers secondary has been playing well too.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess not against Detroit, but nobody really has. So,
oh, but I like it. Beat Seattle. Let's do it.
Yeah, hopefully we get those refs we had from like 12 years ago.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, and we don't need another fail Mary. Need another one.
Fail Mary.
Yeah. Let's talk some college football. The bracket was just released this past Sunday. One of our friends is very angry about the decision the committee made to go with SMU instead of Alabama. So I wanted to ask you, was leaving Alabama out of the playoffs, was that the correct decision?
So first of all, Alabama fans should be the last people complaining about that. After last year and 5 years ago, they get the benefit of the doubt a lot. And
yep.
I think the committee did the right thing.
Yeah.
I think because – here's my issue. I get Alabama's really talented, but they got knocked out of the playoffs when they lost to Oklahoma 24-3 and when they lost to Vanderbilt.
Yep.
That's the two times they got knocked out. And you see like their AD and like all these SEC, like the SEC commissioners and all these like Lane Kiffin should be the last person to complain about this too. With who he lost to. Yeah. With who he lost to too. I get the SEC has arguably probably the best talent,
mm-hmm.
but And those teams have like dudes. Like obviously Ole Miss spent like $20 million on the transfer portal to get a bunch of studs, and Alabama has had studs for as long as I remember watching football. But like penalizing like I get like the SEC's talented, but the people are gonna lose games, and I think losing three games is too much, especially against teams you should beat. If Alabama wins those two games, it's a completely different conversation. Same with
Yep.
Ole Miss. Ole Miss lost to
If they win
Kentucky.
one of them, yeah.
Yeah, Ole Miss lost to Kentucky,
Yeah.
who won one SEC game, and Florida. Guess who beat the crap out of Florida? Miami, who got left out, and I think SMU and or Clemson beat them.
Yeah.
So I think, and then you get to a point where it's like, okay, then what's the point of like playing these games? Like, if we're just gonna pencil in all these SEC teams because of the talent they have, like, and talent doesn't mean you have a good football team. Like the like those teams lost those games for a reason, and then it goes to SMU. Like, why should SMU even play their schedule if we're just gonna assume that Alabama's better when they've lost way more games? And we're using like relative, and it's tough. Like, honestly, I get both arguments. And like, if you look at like Vegas favorites too, like SMU's like a 9-point underdog. Indiana's like a, but like, what's the point of playing the games? We're just gonna pencil in teams we think are more talented because they play in a talented league. Like, that's
Yeah.
just, I just think that
You're
makes no
right.
sense.
You're right.
And
The games have to matter.
yeah, and then like we can't just be like, oh, Alabama has an amazing wide receiver and quarterback and SMU, but SMU won more games and played in an easier conference.
It's
But
not
I,
based on how much talent you have. Yeah.
yeah, it's about like how your team performs, and Alabama was too iffy. Same with Lane Kiffin, like, or Ole Miss. Those teams at their best beat some of the best teams in the country, but at their worst, they lost to some of the worst teams in the country. So, and the thing is too with the SEC is they play eight conference games where the Big Ten for sure plays nine. And I think I would have to look at other leagues, but I'm pretty sure that ACC, I'm willing to bet one of the ACC or Big 12 definitely plays nine games too. And it's not like Alabama had this like crazy hard out of conference schedule. Like, they played Mercer in November, which is what every SEC team does. And then
Yeah,
like,
no, that's what I saw, and I'll just call him out. I saw Alabama fan Dom Sirianni
the
talking
Don,
about,
yeah.
the Don, they call him. But he was just saying like, oh, I hope Alabama schedules Mercer 12 times next year. And it's like, it's
Or do you too?
you didn't make it because of your out of conference schedule. The best team you played out of conference was a 5-7 Wisconsin
Wisconsin,
team
yeah.
that didn't even make a bowl game. So your out of conference schedule had nothing to do with it. And that's the Alabama AD keeps saying that. He's like, well, I guess we have no incentive to schedule hard out of conference games now. But like what he's forgetting is the only reason people started those in the first place is because you need a huge win to be a top four team. Wisconsin would have
Yeah.
never scheduled Alabama if they knew of a 12-team playoff. They did it because it's a four team and they knew they might need a win over Alabama to be considered one of those top four.
Yeah, I think that's a good argument too. I think honestly, like, was if we look at like past national champions, like Michigan, who did Michigan play last year? Like, nobody. I mean,
The Big Ten.
yeah,
Oh,
they played
you're
the
talking
Big
out of
Ten. Yeah, out of
conference.
conference, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and then like I think Georgia played Oregon, but they like curb stomped them, given that's a tougher game than usual. But yeah, I think it's just like I don't I, as much as like the SEC like benefits from having all this like talent, they do have probably the best talent. Like, they probably get the most NFL draft picks, and they've had a team who's won the past like 10 national championships, or 10 out of like the past 15. But like, you don't get the benefit of the doubt like every year, and I think that's just unfair to like other teams who like play their schedule and win the games they should.
Yeah, it's like literally the whole point of a 12-team playoff
Yeah.
is so teams from smaller conferences or, less known schools can actually have a chance to make the
It's the
playoff. But
ACC. It's not like, I mean, like, it's not.
it's not the SEC or the Big Ten, but they still have ranked teams, it's not like it's a cakewalk or
Yeah,
anything.
it's not like they still played like Louisville, or I mean, like Notre Dame got him with that schedule and they lost to NIU.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
I think the committee going forward, I think they penalize you more to who you lose to than who you win.
Interesting.
I think that's with like Texas. Like, Texas only lost to Georgia twice but didn't lose to anybody else. And then Penn State only lost to Ohio State and Oregon by possession each. And then Notre Dame lost to NIU, but they curb stomped everybody they played. And then Ohio State got really penalized for losing to Michigan when they were a 20-point favorite. And then, like, as you see with like Alabama, Ole Miss, and South Carolina, even they all got penalized for who they lost to. And I think that's, and it's honestly really hard when, like, I know we have people watching, but honestly, I think the only solution now to like do that would each big conference would have to play the same number of games. And then we'd have to do a crossover with every conference, I think, in my opinion. I think that's the only way. And like, I think there's still like flaws with that too. Cause like, you know how like basketball does that based on how performance on previous years and stuff.
Yeah.
Like cross conferences. I think that's the only way you'd be able to really measure it. And I think the SEC would be not pleasantly surprised by how they would do against some of these teams. Like, I mean, like, yeah, it's a tough conference, but I think, honestly, I think the top three Big Ten teams are just as good as the top three SEC teams in the playoffs. So,
yeah, well, we're going to find out soon, but I'm glad we're both in agreement about, you know, that leaving Alabama out was a correct decision. The committee finally got it right. But enough of us ragging on Alabama. Who's your Heisman? Who's your Heisman pick? I can tell you mine, but I want to hear yours.
I mean, the betting odds are going to say Travis Hunter, but I think Ashton Jenny, if we're talking about, if we're defining who the best player is, who the best player on the team and what they would look like without them.
Yes.
I think Ashton has got to win. He would be my pick, but I think I think Travis Hunter's a unicorn.
Cardio king. Snaps aren't a stat, Brendan.
Yeah, I agree, but he's a ridiculous athlete, and he's a ridiculous player.
I actually kind of do think snaps are a stat, because when most players are playing 60 and you're playing 100, clearly that's superior, you know, talent and endurance. But
he deserves his flowers for sure, though.
Yeah, no, but I'm with you. You got to go Genty. He literally got like a mediocre Boise State team to a bye week, not even to the playoffs, just to a bye week. So. Give it to Genty. And I don't know. We don't have to go into how the buys should not work out the way they are. I don't know.
That's another conversation too.
Yeah. It should be
an auto bid.
Boise State. If Boise State should be like the 7 seed, they shouldn't be the number 3 seed in the whole thing.
I mean, like, it should be an auto bid. But like, honestly,
I think if we auto bid, but the auto buy is not, it's not great.
If we look at it, I think like some of those matchups would still like happen. If that makes sense.
Some of the lopsided ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like if we had looked at like the straight rankings themselves, like I still think like Penn State, I think they were still like, they didn't get penalized for losing to Oregon. I think they were still like fourth or whatever. And like, they would probably want to play SMU or Boise State anyways. And I know Ohio State fans are not like super happy, but.
Well, yeah, I want to get into the bracket in a little bit. Like I mentioned, Penn State arguably has the easiest route, but who's your dark horse to win this thing? Is there a team you think that could win it that most people wouldn't expect them to even get to the championship game and win it, you know?
Like top seeds?
No, who's your dark horse? Like a team that people aren't expecting that could.
I guess I was asking if like top seeds still counted, because I think like honestly like
I guess I would count Boise State and Arizona State as a dark horse, but Oregon and Georgia clearly are not dark horses.
Exactly. I think Notre Dame and Penn State are arguably a dark horse. I guess that doesn't make sense because like they have huge fan bases, like are well known for their talent and whatnot. But I think Georgia is pretty vulnerable against any Notre Dame. I think Indiana could be
Could be Georgia.
Not Georgia. I think they could beat Notre Dame though.
Sure. But Penn State and Notre Dame are the two teams you're kind of looking at. You're like, they got a shot at this thing.
Yeah, I mean, like, if we're looking at seeding, I guess this wouldn't come to surprise, but like Ohio State, like I can't like count them out yet. They're just so damn talented at receiver.
Yeah, that's gonna be my pick because that's who I picked preseason. I can't go back on when they're in this thing. But I was wondering, Brendan, would you like to do an old segment with me presented by no one?
Yes.
Okay, so this is an old segment because I think me and you already actually did this segment. The segment's called Bracketology. So we're going to go through the entire bracket. I want you to pick every game. Forget about the point spreads. I just want the winner. And we'll figure out who Brendan Paddock's national champion is. So let's start off with the first round games. Number 12, Clemson against number 5, Texas. Who you got in that one?
I like Texas to win that game, but I think Clemson covers.
Okay. Next game is Tennessee, Ohio State, the 8-9 matchup in Columbus at the Shoe.
So if I'm going to go back to some unfair seeding, according to other people from Oregon, I think Oregon getting a bye is pretty fair, in my opinion. I know these two teams are tough, but like with like the freak injuries or anything, I think it's still like pretty fair for them. And they beat Ohio State. They could easily beat Ohio State or Tennessee. But
you're right. Oregon did get a tough draw.
They did, but having that bye really helps. And then they play it in the Rose Bowl, which will help them too in terms of fan base.
So you like Ohio State in that game over?
Yeah, I like Ohio State. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to the next game. The SMU Mustangs against your Penn State Nittany Lions. By the way, what is a Nittany Lion? What's the difference between a lion and a Nittany Lion?
I think Nittany. I think Nittany is like kind of the. I think it's like a name for one of the mountains around there. I'd have to ask my family. I think Dallas. I think
you were right. Yeah, Mount Nittany.
Yeah,
which overlooks the campus. But yeah, SMU Penn State. I think I know who
that's gonna be a tough game for Dallas. I think Dallas is good, or sorry, SMU is from Dallas.
yeah.
But SMU,
they're in Happy Valley.
It's gonna
maybe
be cold.
They do a whiteout maybe.
I think so. I think
can you not do that for a playoff game?
I think they are going to do it, but it's not going to be a night game.
Oh, right.
But it's going to be really cold. I think SMU got handled pretty well by Clemson in the trenches, and I think that's where it'll be won. So I think Penn State wins by 17.
Ooh, that's my team though. I'm rooting for SMU just to, you know, just so I can shit talk
the Bama fans. Most
the Bama fans. I don't know why I say the Bama fans when I'm just talking about Dom.
The Bama fan who likes him for. We know why, but anyways.
Wait, why does he like them?
You just bandwagon on to them.
Oh, I thought it was like a Brandon Miller type. No. All right. Last first round game, or actually, this might be the first game that's being played, but regardless, we got Indiana going to Notre Dame. I guess kind of
South Bend.
Yeah, going to South Bend, so kind of a home game for both of them. The interstate. Rivalry of Indiana Notre Dame.
The Indiana alumni will have to choose a team to cheer for.
You think they all bandwagon onto Notre Dame?
Oh yeah, totally.
For football?
Yeah, totally. I feel that's a lot
basketball.
That's a lot of Notre Dame. But anyways, I think Indiana has a really good offense, and I think they'll present some problems to Notre Dame. But I think Notre Dame, like, I think it's gonna be one in the trenches, so it could be Notre Dame.
All right. Should I point out that you've taken all the favorites so far?
Yes. Well, you'll see soon.
You have taken all the favorites, but okay, maybe you got some upsets coming here. So quarterfinals, we got Texas, number 5 Texas going. No, actually, it's a neutral site, right? Not a home game, but it'll be Texas versus Arizona State, the 4-5 matchup. Who you got?
I don't know what bowl that is, but
it's one of them.
I think it's a Sugar Bowl.
I don't know if those are the – oh, yeah, because the New Year's Six are the quarterfinals and semis.
Yeah.
And then the national championship. I don't know which one it is, but Texas ASU, who you got?
I think it's going to be another close game, but I think I'm going to go Texas with that.
Sure.
But I think Arizona State will be a team to watch out for with that.
That's our first upset, 5-4.
Yeah, it's not really gonna be an upset. They're probably like Vegas, probably like favored them. Like
they'll be
like
touchdown favorites in that. Yeah, at least. Yeah. All right, next game we got the tough draw for Oregon, Ohio State versus Oregon.
Give me the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Ooh, damn, Oregon got hosed by this format. If you think about it, if ASU and Boise State weren't given those bye weeks, it would have gone to what? Texas and Penn State would have byes.
Yeah.
And then Tennessee and Ohio State move up too. So they would have been playing like Indiana or like SMU. Yeah. So they kind of got hosed a little bit, but
yeah. But who knows? I think Ohio State wins that rematch. I think they bounce back and win that game. Because they lost to them earlier in the year by kind of their fault. Like they could have easily won that game. So yeah. Give me Ohio State.
Yeah. Okay. We got Ohio State. We got another upset. That's another upset in the quarterfinals. All right. Penn State, Boise State, the two
Another interesting
states.
game. Very interesting game. I think Penn State is probably going to be like a 12-point favorite in this. But I think it's going to be Penn State wins by like three or five. I think Boise State's too one-dimensional, and I think they keep it interesting for a while, but I think Penn State's just superior talent. Just wins that. And
For
they're good.
sure.
Penn State's good against
Outside
the
of
run.
Genty. Outside of Genty.
And Penn State's very good against the run. So, and I just don't think, obviously, Penn State's defense played really bad against Oregon, but playing it bad against Oregon's one thing. Like, but Boise State did play Oregon tough, but that was in the beginning of the season. But
If you can get them to try to beat you with their arm rather than just Genty running for 250, you definitely can beat. They're a beatable team, I think.
They're great story, great team. Gonna come out with, they're known for upsetting these teams, but which is one thing to look out for. But and Penn, James Franklin's not the get best against these top teams.
All right,
I mean,
la
that's,
last oh sorry, go ahead.
but I just think I was just gonna say, I just think that there it's gonna be too one dimensional, and going against Penn State linemen and skill players, a lot different than the Mountain West. So
Yeah, no kidding. All right, last quarterfinal game. We got Notre Dame versus Georgia, 7-2. Who you like?
give me the Fighting Irish,
Oh, damn.
because Carson Beck is out, and I think Notre Dame doesn't have a great passing game, but I think they match up well against Georgia. I think they're the same kind of team, but I think they're gonna be give me Notre Dame healthier. I think Notre Dame's gonna win that game.
I like this, Brennan. You start out with no upsets, and then the quarterfinals, every game was, well, two of them aren't technically upsets, but every game you picked an upset. The top four seeds are all out now. All right, so now we're on to the semifinals. We got Texas versus Ohio State, the 5 versus the 8.
This is a tough one. I mean, Sark has really struggled against the top talent. I guess Ryan Day technically has too. But if you look more into Ryan Day's, like, besides this ugly ass Michigan loss, he's lost to national champions. And I think I'm more confident picking Ohio State. I think I'm gonna go Ohio State with that one. Close game, very good close game though.
All right. The other, who will be playing Ohio State in the championship game? Will it be Penn State or Notre Dame? 6 versus 7 here.
This is really gonna pay me, but I think Notre Dame is gonna win that game, unfortunately.
Okay.
And this is gonna be a championship game I don't really want to
You don't want to watch the Buckeyes versus the Fighting Irish? Come on,
Absolutely
that's going to be
not.
an instant classic.
No.
You think Ohio State blows them out?
Notre Dame or Notre Dame blows up Penn State.
Oh, sorry. Let's move on to the championship. Ohio State versus Notre Dame. Who you got? Who's Brendan Paddock's CFP champion in the first ever 12-team playoff?
Think Ryan Day is going to be looking for Lou Holtz again after they beat the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Let's go, Brendan. That was my preseason pick. I love it. I love it. I actually
Hopefully,
hate
I'm
Ohio
totally
State.
wrong,
I'm gonna be rooting
but.
against them just because I hate Ohio State, but they're my pick. So I can't be mad at that.
That's like a game where, like, I think I could stomach Ohio State winning a lot better just because Ohio State's just a lot, like, I'm used to Ohio State doing that stuff.
Yeah, why don't you want to watch that game?
I just don't like both teams.
You just hate both teams. You're like, no matter who wins, I lose. I
Yeah.
got you.
But
I got
I
you.
can stomach Ohio State, but I think Ohio State, I mean, Ohio State's played Notre Dame the past couple years, and I think Notre Dame's lack of explosiveness in the pass game, but they have a very, 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 they probably have the best running back in the playoffs. Honestly, I think he's better than Ashton Jetty. But
Quinshon Judkins.
Ohio State has him, and I think Jeremiah Love is a very good running back on Notre
Oh, on
Dame.
Notre Dame. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think Ohio State matches up well, and I think they're just more explosive. And I think Ryan Day gets his first championship.
All right. I love it. I love it. And then all the Michigan fans can say, "Hey, we beat the champion." They'll never
I
live
think
that down.
Ohio State will gladly take that,
I would too. I would too. Well, that's college football with Brendan. He's got Ohio State Buckeyes winning it all. I wanted to talk just a few more questions for you. I'm not gonna ask you to pick the NBA Cup because I'm not even following it. But how do you feel about the NBA Cup? What's your opinion on it? Are you a fan? You think it's stupid? I don't know. I feel like there's
We
not a lot of middle ground.
go from talking about two sports where the regular season really matters to a sport where it doesn't matter at all.
Yeah. Well, you can get the NBA Cup trophy. That counts for something, right?
Yeah, I mean, I thought about this with my personal trainer when you sent me that question, because
Yeah.
he loves the Bucks and watching it. But
Yeah, I think they're in the quarterfinals, like
yeah, I
in a
mean,
couple hours.
yeah, I mean, if it helps like engagement and helps like the players try, I guess I'm for it. But if it
You're
doesn't,
not
then
watching
yeah, I mean,
it.
honestly, it's good. It
Even
take a
the
lot.
Bucks?
I like watching the Bucks, but it still takes a lot for me to like watch like NBA games.
Yeah, I only tune in like late in the season. That's how
Yeah,
I
the
feel.
playoffs are fun. I really enjoy the playoffs, but
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit of baseball. Two
Ooh.
questions on that. Are we sad about Willy Adames? He's left Milwaukee to go to San Francisco for what, 182 million or something? What do you
Yeah,
think?
I mean, like, I'm sad because he
I'm
did
a
a
little
lot for
sad.
us. Yeah,
Yeah.
he did a lot for us. It was really cool to see him. He was really clutch in a lot of the regular season moments, but he got paid. I don't blame him for leaving. And if we talk about analytics, I'd be interested to see like player curves and how teams overspend on some players like that. So going to
Yeah,
like my Juan Soto
yeah, no
too.
kidding. Well, that's gonna be my next
Yeah.
question. Did the Mets pay Juan Soto enough money? 15 years, $765 million. Is that
They
enough?
overpaid him.
I agree.
He's really good, but like I love to see like a player curve, like and how like analytic teams like find like inefficiencies with that. But I think I'm happy for both. Like both got deserve it. Both I'm happy for Willie. I'm really happy
I'm
with what
just
he
so
did. But
happy he went from the Yankees to the Mets.
and what yeah, that is hilarious
That's
too.
one of the most honorable things a man can do, is
Yeah,
leave the
hopefully.
Yankees to go to the Mets.
I don't like the Mets either, but like it'd be funny if they won a World Series.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. But
I'm not
then
sure how much.
those last 5 years of the Soto deal, they're gonna be like, oh no, it's Bobby Bonilla
Yeah.
all over again.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I was gonna say there's that Mets player that they're still paying.
one mil a year.
Yeah.
I
But
think that's
anyways.
running out soon, but
Yeah.
if that guy's investing, it's probably paying off handsomely. Well, I only got one more question for you, Brendan. So thanks again for pulling up to the podcast.
Yeah,
I appreciate. I needed some college football expertise back on the show. So
it was so much fun. So much fun to talk about it. And
I'm not gonna bring up your Kansas playoff pick. Oh
okay,
shit! I just
yeah.
brought it up. I just brought. No,
Honestly, like
I thought you were crazy at the time, but then if you look at this season, Kansas State, they beat like BYU, ASU,
yeah,
Iowa
Colorado.
State. So they or Colorado, yeah, they beat a bunch of good teams. So you might have just been a year early on that take.
Yeah, so the funny thing is too, I really didn't know who's gonna win the Big 12, but
Yeah.
I'd like to. I think my ACC pick was Clemson or Florida State. Given the Florida State pick, it was horrendously bad. But I still got Clemson. I said Clemson probably.
Hey,
We gotta
that's
pull up the receipts for that.
sorry. I didn't mean I shouldn't I didn't mean to sorry.
No, it's all good. It's
Little
all in the fun. I love the. I think the fun in like sports for sure. It's just stuff doesn't go how we want it to, how it's supposed to work out. It's played on the field, stuff happens, and it's really
Yeah.
fun. It's what makes fun to talk about and watch.
You could make like an hour-long compilation of all the incorrect takes I've had just from doing this show for, less than a year.
We could
But
scroll through the Don's Twitter to.
the Don, follow Donnie on Twitter, everyone.
Is he coming? Is he coming back on?
He doesn't. He will. I was trying to get him. Well, I can't say. We'll have to say that off air. I don't wanna give anything away. But last question for you, because you were showing me it right before. I was telling you I love that you're wearing the headset because of the crispy audio you get from it. But you're like, oh yeah, it's a gaming headset, but it's also a music headset. And you showed your guitar. You got your guitar next to you? I was gonna ask,
I do.
what's your favorite song to play on guitar? And let's see it. There, that's a beauty. Is that a Les Paul?
No.
No. What's your favorite song? to play so
to play?
Far. Yeah.
So that is a Fender Stratocaster. I do love Les Pauls.
Yeah.
And I would love to get one when I'm better and wealthy.
Yeah, but as a, I don't know if you're a novice. I don't know if that's the right word, but what's your favorite song that you know how to play so far?
My favorite riff to play. I have a lot of favorite riffs. I mostly like playing like alternative rock and classic rock.
Okay.
I can play the intro to Jimi Hendrix Fire on Are You Experienced? Great
oh,
album.
Oh yeah. Sorry, I love that song.
I can play the beginning of that. Maybe if I get the amp cranking up, I can play it.
Can you play Wonderwall?
Yes, I can play Wonderwall.
You can?
Yeah.
I didn't know if Wonderwall was more of an acoustic.
And I have an acoustic in the back
too. Oh,
I
can, okay.
I
there you go.
I could play, but
I love that song.
the band just got back together.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Oasis. Yeah.
Shout out Oasis.
I was with a bunch of Brits coming back, and might have heard that in the airport. But I can play.
Yeah, what's the go-to riff? The go-to song? You already said Fire. That's right.
Yeah,
that's
I like playing. I like my kind of like warm-up riff. It's overplayed and super overplayed. I like playing some Arctic Monkey riffs. I like playing Do You Want to Know and Are You Mine. It's kind of like the first riff I learned by playing guitar. And
are those banned songs at the guitar shop?
Yeah, for sure. I'm probably not Are You Mine, but definitely Do I Want to Know. Like probably see. But like, yeah, that's, I mean, that's kind of like the music you probably remember I liked. I like indie rock and alternative rock. I like playing Spoon Man by the late great Chris Cornell and his band Soundgarden. Great grunge
band. I gotta
go
listen to that one. What's it called again?
Spoon Man by Soundgarden.
Spoon Man. Interesting. I wonder what it's about.
it's about a man in Seattle with spoons, but that's a fun. I have to. That's in a different tuning, so I'd have to tune my guitar down a bit to play that.
Well, hey, next time you come on the show, we might have to get you to play a little riff through that headset.
Maybe I'll send you some recordings.
I would love to hear it. Well, Brendan, thanks again for coming on the show. That's all I got for you. And we maybe have to revisit this when Ohio State beats Notre Dame in the championship.
I say it loses to Oregon or loses to Tennessee in the first round.
Go SMU. Go Mustangs, right?
That'd be.
They're playing your second favorite team. So you can't root for them.
And go Indiana.
Go Indiana.
Go Indiana. Go Vols. But yeah.
I want all the hated teams to lose.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be kind of cool if it happens, but we'll see. I mean, like, the home field advantage stuff really like throws a wrench in everything. Like a southern team having to come up to a really cold state, that's not gonna be good.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if there'll be a Tua Tagovailoa situation with some of these SEC teams. Hopefully, there will.
Tennessee won't be, but maybe SMU.
Yeah,
very southern.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, yeah, Brendan, thanks again for coming on. Let's do it again soon.
Yes, please. Let's go. Once we got the NFL and college football wrapped up, let's run it back.
Yes, sir. Let's do it. Maybe do a bracket for the NFL too.
Yes, for sure. All right.
All right, brother. I'll see you
thanks
later.
Thanks for having me on. See you later.
Thanks again, Brendan, for pulling up to the podcast. I really appreciate it, brother. You gotta come back on soon. Maybe revisit after the championship game. See if any of your picks were right. I'm sure they'll be right. I'm sure they'll be good. Ohio State's winning it all. That's my pick. But let's get to the goosebump moments of the week. Everyone's favorite moment of the week. We got 10 of them as always. And the 10th one is one I was not expecting. I didn't think this would ever make it to a goosebump moments of the week. But at number 10, we have Ethan Evans with the ever so rare walk-off punt. Yes, walk-off punt to win the Rams a shootout over Buffalo.
7 seconds remain. Rams by two. Evans gets it out. End over end. Ball is bounces. Clock hits zero. Game over. The Rams going to hang on and win it. 44-42. What a thriller in Inglewood.
Number 9, Carl Anthony Towns hits a dagger three for the New York Knicks.
Over to Towns. He's going to launch the three. 6.3 to go, and a big bucket by Carl. Karl Anthony Towns.
Number 8, Trae Young hits the game-winning three over my Lakers. Damn.
Back to Trae. He'll take the three. Game! 144-132. Lakers don't have a timeout.
Number 7, Matthew Wright's doink for the division wins it for the Chiefs. Number 6, Brian Breezy blocks the game-tying field goal to win it for the Saints.
Kreider the snap. Gillen the hold. The kick, no good! On a day where special teams failed the Saints time and again, a special teams play decides it in New York.
Watch number 90. Watch him jump through. He doesn't use any leverage to get through that. That is a heck of an athletic play.
Number 5, Nolan Hauser hits a 56-yard field goal to send the Clemson Tigers to the college football playoffs. They also won the ACC championship, too.
It'll be a 56-yarder. The win really not a factor. Snap and hold are good. That one is good! At the buzzer! Clemson wins the ACC!
Number 4, Jonnu Smith catches the walk-off touchdown in overtime for Miami.
Good time to the end zone. Got it! Smith, touchdown! The Dolphins win!
Number 3, Georgia wins the SEC championship in OT as Trevor Etienne runs in the walk-off.
They hand it to him.
Touchdown! Georgia SEC champions! As every dog digs really deep.
Number 2, Dylan Andrews stumbles but still manages to bank in the game winner for UCLA. Wow.
One of the better shot blockers in the league on you and finds a way to get that one to go in.
Number 1 moment of the week, Carter Witt nails the buzzer beater to win it for Belmont.
5 seconds, Witt on Banks, bumps into him, Witt in the lane, has to get it up.
Great goosebump moments of the week. Great moments as always. I'm so pissed that I had to put the Kansas City Chiefs in there. I was like, oh, 30-yard field goal. I can leave out a 30-yard field goal. Those aren't that, you know, crazy of moments. And then he doinks it in off the upright. And shout out Mike Tirico, one of my favorite commentators, if I can look past his weird past. But one of my favorite commentators nonetheless, if I can separate the art from the artist, but great call from Mike Tirico. Immediately thinking of a nickname for it, making it an iconic play. Well, that's not what made it iconic, but the doink for the division, that's such a cool name, and that's going to be in the top 10 every time. If you bank in the field goal, you're going to do it. You're going to be in there. But yeah, Dylan Andrews, that was a sick play. He fell over, kept dribbling, hit that, but Belmont with the buzzer beater for number 1. Let's finish out the show here. We got our Thursday night football pick, TNF pick. This week we have the Rams going to San Francisco at the 49ers, the interstate rivalry. 49ers are 2.5-point favorites. That's also going to be my pick. I'm going to take the 49ers minus 2.5. The Niners aren't dead yet. If they win this game, they're only going to be one game back of the Seattle Seahawks for first place in the division. And you might say, Matt, the Seahawks are up 2 games on the 49ers right now. But what you're forgetting is that the Seattle Seahawks are playing the Green Bay Packers on Sunday Night Football. That win is a lock for the Green Bay Packers. So San Francisco, I think they're still in this thing. But a huge reason I'm picking San Francisco is that they have a guy who is so due. He's so overdue. He's been in a slump for quite a while. But I like this guy to have a huge bounce back game on Thursday. Despite the fact that he's starting to look a little like me, if you know what I'm saying. You probably figured it out by now. But that man is Deebo Samuel.